Amen. We knew there was something good about Brother Greg, didn't we? Now we know what it is. It's his sister. Yeah, exactly right. You could be turning in your Bibles now to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter number 14. And I began preaching a little while this morning about a man that emerges from the pages of the Old Testament. And even though he is sort of hidden away there, that is behind the shadow of a great man of God named Moses and then the shadow of a man of God named Joshua, even though he's hidden sort of in their shadows, emerging from the pages of the Old Testament is a man named Caleb. And we began to looking at him a little bit in the service this morning, and we discovered that right here in the book of Numbers, chapter number 14, that God said something about Caleb that we've used for the title of the message, and that is that Caleb is his servant. In Numbers chapter number 14 and verse number 24, God said, "But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whitherunto he went, and his seed or his descendants shall possess it." That is, the man named Caleb, emerging from the pages of the Bible, a great man of God that God used in a great and mighty way during the early days of God delivering the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. We began looking at him a little bit this morning, and I said to you that the reason why that he was called a servant of God, the reason why God referred him in that way, is because he passed the test. That is, that God put him through a test, and he passed the test, and the test that he put him through was a test, particularly the took place at a place called Kadesh Barnea, where he was one of the 12 spies that were sent into the land of Canaan. The same man Caleb who walked across dry ground when God parted the Red Sea, and the same one who ate the manna that God had provided, who was there at Mount Sinai when God gave the law. The same Caleb, the Bible tells us that indeed he got to Kadesh Barnea and was sent into the land by Moses along with 11 others, and they spied out the land. And when they got back and saw how good the land was, and then the giants were also in the land, the Bible tells us that there were 10 of the spies that backed up in fear, and there were 2 of them, and that was Caleb along with Joshua, who stood out and said that even though there are giants in the land, they're nothing but bread for us, and that we need to go into the land and take what it is that God has promised to us. And this was a man that was willing to follow God into the land of Canaan. He was willing to battle the battle that was going to take place in the land. He was a man who was willing to step forward and go forward by faith, when all the others were backing up in unbelief. He was willing to step forward by faith. And this was a man, ladies and gentlemen, who passed the test. And that is, a real servant of God is a man that's willing to stand when nobody else stands. It's willing to go when everybody else says no. It's somebody that's willing to live for God when everyone else is backing away from God. And when there are those that are murmuring, this one doesn't. And he's ready to move forward for the glory of God. The man named Caleb, he is a servant of God because he passed the test. I said to you in the service this morning that God will put us to the test to find out whether or not we're serious about serving him or not. It's not so much what we say, it's whether or not we pass the test, and that is if we're willing to stand and be what God wants us to be and live for God when nobody else is. It was the test that he passed, and that's the reason why that God referred to him as my servant Caleb. Not only that, but the Bible reveals to us that there was a testimony that this man had, and we began looking at that a little bit in the service this morning about the testimony about this servant named Caleb. We discovered right here in Numbers chapter number 14 and in verse number 24 that there's a testimony. Then God said, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and followed me fully," and there's the key phrase, "that he has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess." And we discovered in the service this morning, 6 times there in the book of Numbers, in the book of Deuteronomy, and also in the book of Joshua, a total of 6 times that this man had this testimony, and that is that he followed God fully, or he followed God wholly. That is, he completely gave himself to following after God. This is a man that was holding back nothing, but was all out for God. We discovered that there were 3 witnesses that gave this testimony. There are 3 witnesses who testified that this man Caleb wholly followed the Lord. One of them was Caleb himself. As a matter of fact, it's in Joshua chapter number 14 and verse number 8, where we find that Caleb, in claiming his inheritance that was promised to him, he said this in Joshua 14:8, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of this people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." Here was a man, Caleb, who indeed followed God with his whole heart. And ladies and gentlemen, he was a witness who testified of it himself. You see, this is a man who knew that he followed God with his whole heart and his whole life with everything that he had. One of the things that I've discovered is that when you're all out for God, you know that you are. Amen. You know that you are. And this man knew that he was, and that he was wholehearted for God. The other 10 spies were afraid to go into the land, but Caleb, along with Joshua, they were ready to go when everybody else was saying no. And Caleb looked back over his life and looked back 40 years earlier at that experience, and he said, "I wholly followed the Lord my God." He himself was a witness, testifying to the fact that he followed God with his whole heart. And then we discovered that there was a second witness, and the second witness was a man by the name of Moses. Moses also testified this same truth in Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 9. Moses swear on that day, saying, "Surely the land whereon thy feet is trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever." Here's why: because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. So not only did Caleb know that he had followed God wholly, but Moses was also bearing witness and testifying that this man Caleb, he was a man that followed God with his whole heart. Ladies and gentlemen, not only will you know it yourself if you're following God, but I tell you, everybody else around you knows it when you're all out for God as well. Listen, it doesn't take long to figure out when somebody's sold out to God. Moses knew that Caleb was a man sold out to God. He was there when Caleb, along with Joshua, were the only ones standing with Moses. He knew that he was sold out to God. And not only was Moses the witness, but back in the book of Numbers, in the verse that we read to you a few moments ago, that God himself, that is the God who knows all hearts, he himself, the Bible says, also bore witness and testified that this man, my servant Caleb, has followed me fully, or followed me wholly. You know, God knows everything about our motives, and He knows everything that we think, and He knows everything about us that nobody else knows, and that is that those who know us best don't know what God does. And the Bible tells us that this God who knew everything about this man Caleb, the Bible says that He knew that he followed him fully. Now there are these three witnesses testifying, bearing testimony about this man named Caleb, and that is that he was following God with everything that he had and everything that he was. And those three witnesses suggest to us three reasons why every one of us ought to follow the example of Caleb and get sold out to God and give God everything that we have and follow him with everything that we are. First of all, listen, the reason why they ought to follow God with everything that we are is so that God might be glorified. That is, God knew that this man Caleb was following him fully. And listen, God is glorified by those who are sold out to God. That is, those who are following him with everything that they had. Listen to me now. Your life ought to be about glorifying God. The Bible tells us that whether we eat or whether we drink, we ought to do everything for the glory of God. If it doesn't glorify God, you and I shouldn't be involved in it. The Bible tells us that indeed our body, that is the body that we live in, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives on the inside of us, and therefore we ought to glorify God, that is glorify him in our body and in our spirit, which are God's, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Hey, do you remember that we're the light of the world, and so we ought to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our God who is in heaven. Our life ought to be about glorifying God. Everything about your life, if it doesn't glorify God, you shouldn't do it. Well, there's one thing that'll glorify God, and that is for you to get sold out, for you to get abandoned to God, for you to follow him fully. Listen, God knew that Caleb was following him fully. He knew everything about his heart. He knew everything about his motive. He knew everything that he gave and that which he didn't give. He knew everything about him. And he said, "This is a man that is following me fully." And the reason why God said that is because he's glorified in his servant. Listen, when we're following God fully with everything that we have and with everything that we are, when we are, ladies and gentlemen, when we are, God is going to be glorified. Listen, not only should we follow him fully, that is because God is glorified, but I tell you also another reason is so that others might be edified. So that others might be edified. And listen, the Bible tells us there in the book of Joshua, chapter 14 and verse number 9, the Bible says that Moses was a witness. He was testifying that this man, that Caleb, followed God wholly. Can you imagine how that must have helped Moses out? I want you to think about it. I wish you and I could just walk in the shoes of Moses for a little while. He's the one that led them up to the waters, up to the water's edge of the Red Sea, and God had to do a miracle or they would have been destroyed right there. He's the one that was on Mount Sinai when God showed up in the smoke and the thundering and the lightning and received those Ten Commandments there on Mount Sinai. Listen, Moses is the one who heard the complaints when the folks got tired of eating the manna. He was the one who heard them say that they were going to turn around and go back to Egypt because they had it better off back in Egypt. He heard the murmuring and the complaining. And listen, at Kadesh Barnea, when they took a vote and they voted by far the majority, almost unanimously, not to go into the land of Canaan, and God decided to destroy them, it was Moses on his face before God, and it was interceding and pleading with God, and if he hadn't have, God would have destroyed them all, the Bible tells us. It was Moses, folks, that was standing and following God and listening to God and being obedient to God. And listen to me, now can you imagine what a help it must have been to Moses when he knew that he had a man named Joshua and another one named Caleb over here that were sold out to God and willing to live for God and willing to follow God. Even when the crowd wanted to go another way, they were going to be obedient to God. Let me tell you something about your life. If you get sold out to God, God will use it to encourage somebody else. He'll use it to help somebody else. Listen, if you want to be a blessing to your family, just get sold out to God and God will use you to build up your family. If you want to be a blessing to your friends, get sold out to God and you can be a blessing to your friends. If you want to help somebody that you work with, get sold out to God and listen, God will use you to encourage their heart. If you want to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters at church, just get sold out to God and they'll be blessed by that. That is, others will be edified and build up and help. Listen, dads, the greatest thing you can do for your family is get sold out to God. And the best, listen, if you want to do something good for your wife, don't go buy her a gift. Give her a husband that's sold out to God. And listen, if you want to be somebody great for your children, whether they're small or whether they're grown, if you want to do something great for your kids, men and women, listen, get sold out to God. That's better than any inheritance you can ever leave them, is to leave them that example of a dad that's sold out to God or a mom that's sold out to God. It'll help them. The reason why we ought to get sold out to God and follow Him with everything that we are is so that God might be glorified and so that others might be edified. And so that we ourselves might be satisfied. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, in Joshua 14 and verse number 8, it was Caleb himself that stood up there before Moses and the others and said, I know that I have followed God fully and wholly. I haven't held back anything. I've been what God wanted me to be. I'm sold out to God. And he knew that he was. And ladies and gentlemen, he wasn't bragging. He was speaking truthfully. I wonder what it's going to be like one of these days when you and I look into the mirror and we look at somebody who's on death's door and we look back over our life. Maybe our kids gather around us or our grandkids and we're looking back over our life. I wonder if we're really going to be satisfied with what we see. I remember reading in Paul's writings in the last recorded words about Paul in 2 Timothy in chapter number 4 as he looked back over his life and he said something like this, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, I fought the fight and I finished my course. Remember that? Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Remember that passage? Look back over his life and said, I know that I've been what God wanted me to be and I live for God. He was a man who was sold out to God. I have a feeling that many of us, if death came knocking on our door today and we had to look back right now today in the setting in which we are, we may not be real satisfied with what we see. Let me ask you this question. I've got to move on. I've got a lot more things to say. But I wonder, as you look back over your life right now and as you sit here in the church, are you really satisfied with where you're at? You know, I have a feeling that there are a lot of folks that have been genuinely born again that aren't really happy and satisfied with where they're at. And it may be because we're not wholly following the Lord. And there's something on the inside of us that bugs us about that. It's a conscience that is informed by the indwelling Spirit. And we're bothered by the fact that we know what we ought to be doing, but we're not. We know where we ought to be, but we're not there. Listen to me. We need to do like Caleb did. We need to sell out to God, give everything to Him, and follow Him with everything that we are and follow Him wholly, completely, unreservedly, first place in our lives. To have that kind of a testimony about our life. Well, I got to move on tonight. I've said to you that there's the test of this man's service. He was put to the test at Kadesh Barnea, and he passed. I've said to you that there's the testimony about his service. He had this testimony. That is, God gave the testimony, and Moses gave the testimony, and he himself testified that he followed God fully or wholly. So I want you to think with me for a few moments now, thirdly, about the teaching that comes from his service. You know, over in Romans chapter number 15 and verse number 4, the Bible tells us that those things that were written aforetime, that is, in the Old Testament, were written for our learning. That is, for New Testament believers to learn from. And that is, when you go back and you start searching the Bible and reading in the Old Testament, you might read some stories about men like Caleb and others. You might read some stories that may even be a little bit strange once in a while and a little bit odd. But I tell you that what God has revealed to us in the Old Testament was written for our learning. So that through patience that we might experience the comfort of the Scriptures, the Bible tells us in Romans 15:4. And so there's a lot that you and I can learn from Caleb. What is it that Caleb is teaching us? That is, what kind of teaching is emerging or coming out of the life of this man? That is, the test that he passed, and there was indeed the testimony that he had that he followed God fully. What is it that you and I can learn from that? Well, I believe that you and I can learn what it means to really be a servant of God. I mean, somebody who is following God with everything that we have and with everything that we are by just looking at the life of this man named Caleb. Let me just say to you, first of all, that if you and I are going to learn anything from this Caleb, we ought to learn this. We ought to learn about the priority of listening. The priority of listening. One of the reasons why that Caleb was the great man of God that he was, one of the reasons why that he knew what he ought to do, and he did it, is because he was a man who was careful and who had as a priority in his life the priority of listening. That is, he was careful and it was important to him to be able to hear what God was saying. When I'm talking about listening, I'm talking about listening to what God is saying. Listen to me now. If you don't care what God says, then you are never going to be anything like Caleb. I'm going to say that again. If you don't care about listening to what God has to say, you're never going to be anything like Caleb. Caleb was the servant of God that he was because he was listening to God. And that is, listening to God was a priority in his life. It was important in his life. In other words, listening to God and hearing from God apparently was one of the most important things that was happening in his life. I have a feeling that if Caleb was here to talk to us, he would give us some advice and he would tell us something like this, that there is something more important than putting money in your bank account, and that is listening to God. There is something that is more important, listen to me now, there is something more important than all the distractions and the entertainment of the world in which we live, and it is indeed listening to God, that it is hearing from God. There's not anything more important than hearing what God has to say. And this man Caleb, apparently, listen, he had his ear bent towards heaven, and he was hearing what God had to say. Now, he lived among a crowd of people who wasn't listening very well. You say, Pastor, listen, I'd listen a little bit better if everybody else would straighten up. Well, consider Caleb, would you? And that is, that Caleb was living among a crowd. Listen, that instead of hearing what God was saying to them, they were rebelling against what God was saying. They didn't care that God was leading them into the land of Canaan. That was not important to them. Listen, they were not listening and didn't care to hear what God had to say. Most of that crowd was just concerned about, listen to me, they were just concerned about getting something to eat besides manna all the time. Listen to me now. If you had to eat manna every day, if that was the only thing you had to eat that day, that would be one thing. But if you had to eat it 2 days in a row, it would get a little bit old. But if you had to eat it all week long, you would be getting sick of it. But if you had to eat it all month long, it would, listen, become very discouraging. But no, these folks ate it every day of every month of the whole year for 40 years. Think about it now. Some of you aren't even 40 years old. And if all you've ever had to eat was manna, you'd get old after a while. Some of you don't even like leftovers after the second day, do you? You start complaining and griping and bellyaching. Listen to me now. If any of you are here, start bellyaching and griping about eating leftovers after about the third day, then you're no different than those folks were. And you'd have done the same thing if you'd have been there. They were griping and bellyaching. And God was speaking. God was operating. And all they were worried about is having to eat this manna all the time, among other things. Listen to me now. Say, Pastor, I'd listen a little bit better and pay better attention if it wasn't for everything going on around me. If it wasn't for the people around me. If it wasn't for the things around me, if it wasn't for the society around us is just in a mess. Listen, if you can't hear from God in this society, the reason why is because you're not listening. You're not hearing. God is speaking. If you'll listen, you'll be able to hear what He's saying. You say, well, how do you listen to what God is saying? Well, you got to listen to His Word. That is, God has spoken right here in this book. You got to pick this book up and read it. When you read it, you'll find out what it says. If you study it, you'll find out what it means. God is speaking through His Word. God is speaking through His Spirit. That is the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you. You can listen, He'll speak to you if you'll learn how to listen to Him. God is speaking through His Word. God is speaking through His Spirit. And do you know that God is speaking through His men? You know how Caleb knew so much about God? It's because he'd been listening to a man named Moses. Moses had been hearing from God, and God had been speaking to Moses, and Moses had been teaching the Word of God, had been teaching the people of God. And listen, a bunch of that crowd wasn't listening at all, but I tell you, this man was. He was hearing what it was that God was saying. One of the things that we learn from this man named Caleb, a man who was sold out to God, who followed God fully and wholly, is that is the priority of listening. Second thing that we learn about from him, that is that his life teaches us, is the walk of faith. And that is that if you and I are going to live for God and be everything that God wants us to be, then listen to me now, we've got to learn how to walk by faith. When I'm talking about walking by faith, I mean now that I've heard what God is saying, that I'm going to respond to it. I'm going to respond to it. That is, when God says go this way, then I put on my shoes and go that way, right? And when God says, I want you to go another way, then I go that way. Listen, when you see the Israelites there in the wilderness, when you see them marching to the Red Sea, you know the reason why they were headed to the Red Sea is because Moses said, God said, let's go this way. And Caleb was right there with him, walking in that direction. It's a walk of faith. Listen to me now. If you don't learn how to live and to walk by faith, that is hearing what God says and following Him in the direction that He wants you to go, if you don't learn how to operate by faith, by believing what God has said and responding to it, then you'll never be a Caleb. It is a walk. Listen, He demonstrates for us what it means to walk by faith. At Kadesh Barnea, this guy was ready to move into the land of Canaan. He was ready to defeat the giants in the land. And the reason why that he was, ladies and gentlemen, is not because the Israelites had a conquering army. It's not because they had jets and bombs. The reason why is because he was willing to step out by faith and just believe what God said, and that is that God promised them that land, and they knew that they could take it. He was willing to walk by faith. Listen, if you're going to live a life of victory and be what God wants you to be, you've got to learn how to walk and to live by faith. It starts with the priority of listening. You got to hear what God is saying. And once you've heard what God is saying, then you respond to it. You move out in that direction, and that's what it means to walk by faith. You say, Pastor, but I don't understand why I should go in that direction. Well, that's what faith enables you to do. Faith enables you to do whatever God tells you to do, even if you don't understand why it is that God wants you to go in that direction. If God says go in that direction, go in that direction. If God says do this, do that. If God says do that, do it. And the reason why is because, listen, there's somebody who's a whole lot smarter than we are. It's God. He's got a plan laid out. He's got His will laid out. And you and I need to learn to walk by faith. Which leads to a third thing that we learn from the example of this man named Caleb. We not only learn about the priority of listening to God. We not only learn about how to walk by faith and the importance of walking by faith, but also, listen to me now, we also learn that we need to live a life of obedience. The life of obedience. What is the key to becoming Caleb? Listen to me now. It is being obedient to God. Just obeying God. Whatever God says, that's what I am going to do. Just being obedient to God. Listen, when you know what God wants you to do, then just do it. When you know what God doesn't want you to do, then just stop doing it. It is just a life of obedience. That is, we learn about the priority of listening. And we learn about the walk of faith. In Caleb, we learn about a life of obedience. And fourthly, we learn about an attitude of surrender. an attitude of surrender. What I mean by that is this, is that this man Caleb was willing to surrender everything to God. It didn't matter what it is. He abandoned everything. Everything was on the line. Everything was on the altar. Everything was surrendered to him. Everything about his life. He really is an example of what Romans 12:1 means. And that is when Paul wrote and he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body as a living sacrifice. This man laid it all on the altar and he surrendered everything to God. And that's the key. That is, that's one of the things that is so important about this man named Caleb. And that's why he became the servant of God that he did. And that's the reason why he became such a great man of God that was willing to follow God wholly or follow God fully. He had an attitude of surrender. He was fully surrendered to God's will. He was fully surrendered to God's plan. Whatever God's will is and God's plan is, he abandoned himself to it. It is an attitude of surrender. We're learning something now, aren't we, from the example of Caleb. And that is that if you and I are going to be what God wants us to be, that is, if we're going to follow him fully, we need to have the priority of listening. That is a walk of faith, a life of obedience, and an attitude of surrender. Now, when I look at this man named Caleb, there are three important words that stand out to me that help me to understand how I can become more like him. The first word is indeed the word concentration. And that is that if I'm going to be what God wants me to be, if I'm going to live the kind of life that I've just described to you and that we see exampled in Caleb, then it means that I'm going to have to concentrate everything on doing this one thing. The Bible tells us in the book of Philippians, Paul wrote to the believers at Philippi and he tried to help them understand this basic principle, and I think it's one that you and I would do well to try to get a hold of in our life as well. In the book of Philippians, I want you to listen to what Paul wrote in chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He said, there's one main thing that I focus on in life. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, the old life. He says, I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's using sort of that racing language that we looked at in the service this morning in 1 Corinthians 9. And he said, I'm like a racer in a race. He said, the one thing I do is that I'm focused on one thing. I'm concentrating on one thing, and that is crossing that finish line. Listen, whenever a racer is in a race, I won't do all the stretches that I did this morning. Okay? I'm afraid I won't be able to get up out of bed in the morning. But listen now. When somebody's in a race, and I mean it's time to race, and they're running down the track, they're running in their lane, and they're running as hard as they can, one of the things that they're focused on is crossing that finish line. Most of them, at least the races that I have watched, and the few that I've ran in, usually they don't stop and go to McDonald's and grab a sandwich about the middle of the race. And that is, if they see their aunt over along the sideline, most of them don't stop and go visit with Aunt Susie over there on the sideline and say, how you doing today? No, they're concentrating on one thing, not Aunt Susie and not McDonald's. Listen, they're concentrating on one thing, and that is crossing that finish line, running their race, giving their best. And listen to me now, that's what you see in this man named Caleb. And that is that he's not distracted by everything that is going on around him. But he's focused on one thing, and that is living out the purpose and the will of God for his life. And if you and I are going to be like Caleb, then we also have to have that kind of concentration. That is, we got to be focused on that one thing, and does not allow ourselves to be distracted by the worldly pleasures around us, by the entertainment that is around us, all the things that are going on in the world around us. Those things that indeed characterize the lives of lost people should not be characterizing our lives. We shouldn't be distracted by all of those things, and even when we're involved in those things, listen to me now, they should not become a distraction in our lives. Our focus ought to be that I'm going to be in the center of God's will, and I'm going to go where God wants me to go and do what God wants me to do. It's hard for me to imagine Caleb walking up to Moses in the middle of the wilderness whenever they're going through the wilderness wandering. It's hard for me to imagine him walking up and says, you know what, Moses, I just remembered back down there in Egypt, I met this guy. There's this guy I went to school with. His name is Joe, and he and I, we played a little basketball together and, you know, did a few things together, a few rounds of golf, and we were real buddies. You know what? If you don't mind, I think I'm going to go see Joe for a while. I'll be back in a few months. I just can't see Caleb doing that. Can you? You say, well, what would be wrong with that? Inherently, I guess nothing would be wrong with it, but it wasn't the will of God for his life. And there are a lot of things in my life and surrounding your life that may not be inherently wrong. But the issue is this God's plan? Is this God's will? Is this God's direction for me? And if it's not, then it's a distraction. Are y'all still with me? Now, if you're going to be a Caleb, if you're going to be like this man of God, this servant of God named Caleb, then you got to really concentrate, be focused on doing the will of God. So there's that key word, concentration. And then there's also a second key word that I see in Caleb, and that's the word completeness. And what I mean by that is this, is that this is a man that not only concentrated everything on following God, but he did it completely. That is, he followed him absolutely with everything that he was, with everything that he had. Folks, I know it's hard to imagine. You say, Pastor, that seems a little radical to me, the idea of following God, just giving God everything. But did you know that that's what it really means to follow the Lord? Listen, if you read through the New Testament, as a matter of fact, if you just read what Jesus taught, you cannot walk away from the Gospels and the teaching of Jesus without knowing this. And that is that those who are really his disciples are those who forsook everything to follow him. Jesus even said that in Luke's Gospel. And that is that whoever doesn't forsake everything cannot be my disciple. Listen, the idea is the idea of completely, totally surrendering everything and following him completely with everything that I have. That's what Caleb did. That is, it's the idea of completeness. So there's the key word, concentration, concentrating everything on this one thing. There's the key word of completeness, completely surrendering and following him with everything that we are. The third word is the word constancy. What I mean by that is this, is that those who are really going to be like Caleb and follow God, they can't just do it once in a while. It's got to be a constant following. When you look at Caleb, you see his whole life. All that's recorded about his life for us in the Scriptures is all about following God. Listen to me now. Whether he was a young man following Moses across the Red Sea, or whether he was an old man who was claiming his inheritance and running the giants off of the mountain that he claimed by himself, this man, from the beginning to the end in recorded biblical history, was a man who was sold out to following God. Listen to me now. I'm talking about your life. Constantly following him. Not up and down, not in and out, not what we would call wishy-washy. But listen, constantly following him. It means you follow him on Sunday and on Monday and on Tuesday. And for the sake of time, I'll stop. I'm talking about every day of every week, of every month, of every year until God takes you home. Peter had a problem with this issue of not being constant, didn't he? Don't you remember reading in the Gospels and when they were in the upper room and Jesus was teaching them and he told Peter that he was going to deny him three times, didn't he? Remember how that Peter said, Lord, I'll never deny you. Everybody else might. Jesus said, listen, tonight the shepherd is going to be smitten and the sheep are going to be scattered. Quoting from the Old Testament book of Zechariah, Peter said, Lord, if everybody else forsakes you, if everybody else leaves, I will not. I'll follow you. Wherever you go, I will follow you. That was the attitude of Peter. If he'd have been in a Baptist church, we'd have ordained him right there, wouldn't we? Yeah. Absolutely. Peter had the same kind of problem that oftentimes we have because before the night was over, he had denied the Lord, denied that he even knew him. Three times. Listen to me. If you're going to be a Caleb, if you're going to learn from his example, if you're going to hear what it is that his life teaches us, then here's one of the things you got to know. If you're going to follow God like he did, wholly and fully, then you're going to have to do it constantly, all the time, every day, day in and day out. Are y'all still with me? I'm trying to talk to you a little bit about what it is that you and I can learn. The teaching that comes from the life of this man named Caleb. Now that brings me to my last point. I'll try to make it as quick as I can. There's a little tip that I want to give you behind his service. Some of you might be here, and I've been preaching about Caleb, and you might have the attitude that as your heart may be saying, I want to follow Christ with my whole heart. And I believe that's probably true about a lot of people in here, that in your heart, you want to follow him like Caleb did. You want to follow God fully. You want to have the kind of testimony that he did, that you followed God completely and fully your entire life, that you want to follow him with your whole heart. But you say, Pastor, every time I just get going, I fall and I fail. Says, I feel like that runner in that race. Remember? And that is, I get stretched. I get loosened up. I get on the starting line. And the green light says go. And I take off. And I go about 10 steps. And I trip and fall flat on my face. And there I am. Back at the starting line. Have any of you ever felt like that? See, I'm kind of like Peter was. And that is, I testify and say I'm going to do my best to live for God for the rest of my life. And before I know it, I'm in a situation where I'm denying that I even know him. Listen to me. There's a little tip found in the book of Numbers that I want you to see. There's a secret to why it is that this man Caleb was such a great servant of God. And I want you to see it. I want you to, God just gives us a little tip. Are you ready? This is your tip of the day. Numbers 14 and verse number 24. Look at what it says. I'll make a couple comments on it and then I'll close. The Bible says, but my servant Caleb, now listen to the next phrase, because he hath another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess him. Do you see that little phrase there? Because he hath another spirit with him. Now, Bible scholars in the theological world, they kind of debate back and forth as to whether or not this is talking about Caleb's spirit. That is, the spirit of a man. He had a different kind of spirit about him than everybody else did. Or whether it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, listen, to me there's no debating about it. It's settled. And that is that if it's true that Caleb had another kind of spirit about him, it's because there was another kind of spirit upon him. Yeah. Yeah. In other words, the reason why that this man was the great servant that he was, the reason why he had a different kind of spirit than everybody else did, all of those who were belly aching and complaining, those who were saying, no, we can't go and into the land, he was saying, yes, we can, and they were saying, no, we can't, and he was saying, yes, we can. The reason why there's such a difference between Caleb and the rest of the crowd is because he had another spirit. And the reason why he had another spirit is because he had another spirit that was upon his life. Listen to me now. I'm trying to give you the tip that reveals to us the very key as to why it was that he was the great man of God that he was. He wasn't following the Lord in his own strength and in his own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's the key. If you want to be everything that God wants you to be, and if you want to follow the example of this man named Caleb, then those of you that are saved, and the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, you need to allow him who lives on the inside of you to dominate and control your life from the inside out. The Bible calls this walking in the Spirit in Galatians 5. In Ephesians, Paul calls it being filled with the Spirit. And here's what I mean by that. It is allowing the Holy Spirit who indwells you to dominate your life from the inside out. Listen to me, if you'll learn how to walk in the Spirit, how to be filled with the Spirit, then listen, you'll be able to follow the example of this man named Caleb. I mean, you can be a warrior for God, a servant of God, somebody that God can use in great ways. Instead of grieving the Spirit, instead of quenching the Spirit, as we're warned about in the Scriptures, allowing him to dominate your life from the inside out. You say, Pastor, if I allow the Spirit of God to dominate my life and fill my life and be in control of my life, I'm afraid of what might happen. Don't be afraid. Listen to me now. If you allow the Holy Spirit to dominate your life from the inside out, then you will see in the book of Acts what it looks like in the early New Testament church. I remember reading in Acts chapter 4, one of my favorite passages, about the fact that the early church, as they were sharing the gospel and being obedient to God. They were living by faith. They were being like Caleb. They were stepping out by faith and doing what God told them to do and spreading the gospel in Jerusalem. The Bible says that the leaders in Jerusalem, the Jewish leaders, began to intimidate them. They arrested them. They threw them into jail. They commanded them to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. And after intimidating them by throwing them into jail, the Bible says in Acts chapter number 4 that when those apostles, particularly Peter and John, were released, they got together with the church and the church began to pray. Those believers began to pray. And the prayer that they prayed is recorded in Acts chapter number 4. And after they got done praying, the Bible tells us in Acts 4:31 that when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled began to shake. Literally began to shake. And the Bible says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. How can I be like Caleb? A servant of God that is bold for God, living for God, sold out to God, everything that God wants me to be. Listen to me now. Listen, the tip is this. The tip behind his service is the fact that he had another spirit with him, the Holy Spirit of God. That it was changing him, dominating his life from the inside out. The key, the tip, is to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Are y'all still with me? You want to be like Caleb? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your truth. God, I pray that you'd operate on our hearts tonight. God, there are folks that are here that are lost. They've never been saved. God, there's never been a time in their life when you've broken them over their lostness and over their sin and where they were able to repent and get to Christ and to the cross and experience the wonderful redemption that's in him. So I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit might operate on those hearts tonight and that those individuals might be brought to the end of themselves and, God, to the point of receiving Christ. And God, I pray for your people, God, that you'd operate in our hearts tonight. God, that you would so speak to us and so bring us to the point that, God, every area of our life that's unsurrendered and unyielded, that, God, would get it to the altar and get it surrendered to you. God, we'd start living for you like Caleb did. God, do that work in our hearts. Make us your servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.